We're going to start here in Hosea chapter 8, and then we're going to go over to Proverbs 1 and spend a good bit of our time tonight. Hosea chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee." It's not the message tonight, but a lot of people try to use God as a good luck charm. Things start going bad. They say, "God, I know you. God, where are you at?" And God is saying, "I've been here all the time. Where have you been?" And that's what they're saying in verse 2. Israel shall cry when he shall come as an eagle in verse 1. Then they'll cry, "My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it, that therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." And that's our message tonight. You have it there on your outline. It says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." And so I want to bring you the message tonight there on your outline. Sow the wind, reap a whirlwind. Sow the wind. And by the way, notice it doesn't say they are sowing to the wind. It says they are sowing the wind. Just like someone would take seed and sow it in the ground, they are sowing the wind. And the idea there is that everything they have done has been vain. It has been foolish. It has been useless. Everything they have sown in their lives, it has been like the wind. And what do you reap when you sow the wind? You're going to reap the whirlwind. Because here's the truth tonight, just by way of introduction. We reap what we sow, the sowing and reaping principle. We know that tonight, Galatians chapter number 6. But we reap exactly what we sow. And we reap exponentially what we sow. Someone sows corn, they're going to reap exactly what they sowed, corn. But they're not just going to reap one kernel, are they? They're going to reap a stalk that has maybe 6, 8 ears, 10, 12, if it's a good stalk. They're going to have from one kernel, they're going to have a stalk that yields hundreds of kernels and several ears. We reap exactly, and we reap exponentially. And that's what Israel is going to find out. So let's pray and ask God to help. We're going to go to Proverbs 1, and that's where we're primarily going to be. We're going to come back and read verses 8 through 14 in just a little bit. But we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We're grateful for your word, Father. We're grateful for how it warns us. We're grateful for how it guides us and leads us. And Father, I pray that just one more time you'd teach us tonight. Father, every single one of us in here tonight know the sowing and reaping principle. We know that. But I pray that you would remind us tonight that, Father, we're going to reap exactly what we sow, and we're going to reap exponentially what we sow. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just be reminded. And Father, I pray that you would just help everyone that's on this property tonight. I pray that, Father, you would use your word to pierce hearts, to change hearts, to encourage hearts. Father, whatever the need may be tonight, I pray that you'd meet every single need that's present in this place. I pray for our children and our teenagers. Father, teach them tonight. May they place the word of God in their hearts tonight. Father, our young people, Father, they need your word. They're so bombarded with everything else in this world. And they need the Word of God placed into their hearts. And I pray that tonight would be one more opportunity to do that. Father, help us in these next few moments. We're going to commit it to you, and we're going to praise you for what you do in our hearts. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. An old preacher made a statement once. He said, life is like a cafeteria line. As you walk through the line, you can take what you want. But always remember, at the end of the line, you must pay for the choices you have made. You can take whatever you want as you go through that line, and we can take whatever we want as we go through this line of life. We can pick and choose, and we can make choices about what we're going to do and how we're going to live and how we're not going to live and whether we're going to listen to the Word of God or not listen to the Word of God. But at the end of the line, there's a receipt that's waiting for us. There's a payment that's waiting. And so tonight I want us to see the practical aspect of the truth that we find here in Hosea chapter 8, verse number 7. We find the practical aspect for us. I believe we find it in Proverbs chapter number 1. So I'm going to ask you to go there if you would. Probably already there tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 20. The Bible says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Here's the truth tonight. Wisdom is not silent. Wisdom is crying out. God's Word is crying out for people to listen to her. The Bible says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, where people are going to and fro, and the busy marketplace, if you will, is what it's speaking about here. It says she is crying. She's not hidden. She's crying out in the busiest places, in the openings of the gate. In the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long? How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You ever been in verse 25 where you have tried to counsel and help and help and help? And when all is said and done, the person just walks away and goes their own way. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's a family member. But wisdom, she cries out and she says, ye have set at naught all my counsel. And you would listen to none of my reproof. Okay, in verse number 26, he's going to begin to give the consequences of verses 20 through 25. Verses 20 through 25, wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is asking for individuals to listen. Wisdom is giving direction. Wisdom is giving reproof. Wisdom is giving counsel. And they're not listening. Verse 24, it says, no man regarded. Verse 25, and would none of my reproof. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a what? Whirlwind. So the wind, reap the whirlwind. Sow the wind, and that's exactly what Israel has done. They have sown the wind, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. Because we reap exactly what we sow, and we reap exponentially what we sow. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But, verses 26 through 32, given the consequences of those that do not regard, that do not listen, but verse 33 gives the consequences for those who do. But, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I want to give you two different types of people tonight and two different things or seeds, if you will, that they are sowing. And we're going to see the consequences of both of those tonight. Number one, we see those who refuse are sowing the wind. Those who refuse God's word, as it says in verse number 24, because I have called and ye refused. Those who refuse to listen to God's word and to listen to His wooings and to listen to His reproof and to listen to His correction, they sow the wind. And what are they going to reap? They're going to reap the whirlwind. And we find in verses 24 through 32, really verses 26 through 32, we find several consequences, or we find several things that they reap because they have sown the wind. They have sown foolishness. They have sown simplicity. They have sown a rejection of God's word and a refusal of God's word. And so what are they going to reap? Number one tonight, they will reap desolation. They will reap desolation. The Bible says, when your fear cometh as desolation. What does the word desolation mean? It means barrenness, desolate. You've seen wasteland, you've seen the desert. We could call the desert desolate. Because now there's not a whole lot there that grows. There's not a whole lot there. It's barren, if you will. And an individual's life, who when they sow to the wind, what are they going to reap? They're going to reap barrenness. They're going to reap desolation. We're not going to go there for sake of time, but I put in your notes Zephaniah 1 verses 14 through 18. And it references Judah and Judah's desolation because of her sin against Jehovah God. They will reap desolation. Number two tonight, they will reap destruction. Verse number 27 also, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. You may not be there, but I'm going to go back to Hosea chapter number 8 and read the rest of the chapter. Hosea chapter 8, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, Israel is swallowed up. It gives a list of destruction, or it gives a description of the destruction that is going to come to Israel. And it begins, it says, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be, and I want you to listen to this, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Who is one of the most hated people groups in all of the world? It's the Jew. It's the hated Jew. And God Almighty, He says, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Nobody's going to take pleasure in you, Israel. They're going to hate you. Verse 9, for they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Wow. God Almighty is saying, look, I have written, I have given them my law. By the way, exactly what's being said in Proverbs 1. Wisdom crieth out. Wisdom's in the street. Wisdom's in the marketplace. Wisdom's in the busy concourses. Wisdom's at the gate saying, hey, listen to me. And that's exactly what God is saying in Hosea chapter number 8. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. By the way, the Word of God in our nation is a strange thing today. I'm talking about as a whole. I'm not talking about believers, look, there are pockets of believers everywhere across this nation. But as a whole, the Bible is a strange thing. Our president's going to give an address tonight to the Joint Congress. And I wonder how many times he's going to reference the Word of God tonight. I wonder how many times they're going to talk about making new laws or passing new laws that are based upon the Word of God. And I would venture to say that there would probably be none. Why? Because God's Word is strange in our land today. Verse 13, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine altar, offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will He remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. They're going to go back into bondage. Just as He brought them out of bondage, they're going back into bondage. Verse 14. Notice this. Wow. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a people, God's chosen earthly people, God's chosen national people, and they have forgotten their Maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. Look, they're going along with their lives just as usual, but without God. They've forgotten God. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. First of all, they will reap desolation. Number two, they will reap destruction. Thirdly, they will reap distress. Notice, if you will, again, verse 27. We find all three of these in verse 27. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. What is distress? It is pressure. It is anxiety. Those who refuse sow the wind. Those who refuse the Word of God and refuse to listen to the Word of God, they are sowing the wind. That's exactly what Israel did. What are they going to reap? They're going to reap desolation, destruction, distress. You don't have to turn there, but let me turn and read 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I've given you examples with each one of these. And under this one, we have the example of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter number 15, Samuel tells Saul, he says, I'm leaving and God has left you. God is going to rend the kingdom and give it to your neighbor. Verse number 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Saul is in distress. Saul is in a strait. Saul is in under pressure, if you will. Saul is anxious. The prophet has come to him and said, look, God is rending the kingdom from you because of your sin, because you wouldn't obey the word of the Lord. A little bit further in 1 Samuel, what does it lead him to do? God has left him. Samuel's dead at this time, but Samuel says, I'm not going to come to you anymore. And at the end, what does he do? We know. He goes to the witch. Why? Because he's in distress. Because he's in a strait. Because he's under pressure. He's under anxiety. People are coming up against him. In 1 Samuel chapter number 28, verse 7, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. It goes down pretty much through the rest of the chapter. These are all examples of individuals who are reaping what they have sown. Desolation, that was Judah. Destruction, that was Israel. Hosea chapter 8. Distress, that's Saul here in 1 Samuel. Chapter 15 and chapter number 26. When we sow to the wind, that's what we reap. Desolation, destruction, distress. Number four, letter D, They will reap desperation. Desperation. Notice verse 28. Proverbs 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Boy, those are desperate times, aren't they? When you're calling to God and He's not answering, that would be some desperation, wouldn't it? Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Remember what we read in Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 2? Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. And what does he say? But I will not answer. You see, as much as God is merciful and long-suffering, and He is a billion, trillion times over, but there does come a point when judgment falls. And there came a point for Israel when judgment was going to fall. There came a point for Judah when judgment was going to fall. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 1, those that won't listen to wisdom and her cries, they're going to call, but He'll not answer. They'll seek early, but they shall not find Him. Why? Gives us the reason in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And now they have the other fear upon them, as we read in verse number 26. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear, verse 27, cometh as desolation, they will reap desperation. I gave you the Numbers chapter 14, the illustration of the children of Israel after they have come to where they sent the 12 spies out, and they come back, and the two spies give the good report, and the 10 give the bad report and say, hey, we can't do it. And God speaks the judgment of 40 years in the wilderness. When He tells them, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, everyone 20 years old and upward is going to die. After He speaks and pronounces that judgment, what do they do? Anybody remember? The next day, they try to go up and begin to take some of Canaan. And they lose badly. Why did they do that? Because they were in a state of desperation. We've come here and God's going to bring us into the promised land, but because of our murmurings and because we said, hey, the giants are too big and they're giants in the land and we can't defeat them, and we didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb, and because we listened to the other 10, God said, you're not going into the promised land. As a matter of fact, everyone 20 years old and upward is going to die right here in this wilderness. And then they said, no, we want to go now. We want to go now. We'll go now. And God said, no, it's too late. No. We'll go fight the giants now. We'll go into the land of Canaan now. Nope, too late. Too late. Desperation, number 5, letter E. Not only will they reap desolation, destruction, distress, desperation, but they will reap their own devices. Verse number 31, Proverbs 1. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. By the way, that's the sowing and reaping principle. And be filled with their own devices. I gave the example of Haman. We know what happens. He builds the gallows for Mordecai. Who ends up on the gallows? Haman does, not Mordecai. They will reap their own devices. By the way, exactly and exponentially. We'll reap exactly what we sowed. We will reap exponentially what we sowed. Those who refuse sow the wind. Let me give you number 2. Those who regard sow the word. Those who refuse sow the wind. Those who refuse to listen sow the wind. Those who regard sow the word. Notice verse 33, just one verse. But whoso hearkeneth. You see, back in verse number 24, he says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man, what's the word there? Regarded. No man listened. No man obeyed. No man observed. But now in verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth, whoso does listen, whoso does regard, whoso does observe and obey, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Those who regard, sow the word. Those who refuse, sow the wind. Those who regard, sow the word. What do they reap? They will reap, first of all, safety. Safety. I gave you the example of Rahab. Safety. Number two, they'll reap security. I gave you the example of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel chapter number 3. They're getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace. But they're listening to the word. They're listening to the word. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able. He's going to deliver us out of that fiery furnace. I know He can. But they said, but if not, we're still not going to bow. Even if He allows us to go into this fiery furnace, and even if He allows us to die, we're still not going to bow. Because that would go against the Word of God. And so Nebuchadnezzar, do what you will. And boy, in verse number 25, what does Nebuchadnezzar say? He says, I see four. I said, did we not throw three men? Did we not throw three men bound into the fiery furnace? He says, I see four men loosed and walking about, and the fourth has the appearance of the Son of God. That's security. That's for those who regard the Word of God. That's for those who sow the Word. They reap safety. They reap security. Then finally, they reap serenity. They will reap safety. They will reap security. And they will reap serenity. By the way, it doesn't mean no troubles are ever going to come. That's not what it means. Do you think a fiery furnace, getting ready to be thrown in a fiery furnace, by the way, getting thrown into the fiery furnace, do you think that's a trouble? I think it is. By the way, what did Nebuchadnezzar say? He did how many times? Seven times. Seven times greater than you would normally heat it. By the way, the guys that threw them in, what happened to them? They died. They burned up. Pretty hot stuff there. And so three guys get thrown in. And they're secure. They're safe. By the way, they're walking about in the midst of the fire, full of peace and serenity. That's what happens for the person that regards God's Word and sows the seed in his life of the Word of God. Instead, as opposed to the individual who refuses, who rejects, who regards not the Word of God, and he sows the wind. That which is foolish, that which is vain, that which is useless. And what's he going to reap? Desolation, destruction, distress, despair. He's going to reap his own devices. So let me ask us tonight, what are we sowing? Are we sowing the wind? I sure don't want to reap a whirlwind. Are we sowing the Word? Are we sowing it in our lives every day, just obeying it, observing it? When we do that, we're sowing the Word in our lives every day. When we're listening to it, when we're listening to wisdom, and we listen to her cry out and say, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to what I have to say to you. We're sowing the Word. But when we refuse, we're sowing the wind. And what are we going to reap? The whirlwind. You've seen it just as many times as I have. You've seen people you've tried to help and you've tried to help and you've tried to warn, and they don't listen. And then you begin to see the whirlwind in their life. By the way, here's the truth. A person who is sowing the Word, a whirlwind may come in their life. Storms may come in their life, but you don't ever see it. Because they handle it with God's safety and God's security and God's serenity. They don't handle it like people who aren't sowing the Word. People who aren't sowing the word handle it differently. They handle it with distress. They handle it with despair. They handle it with drama. Totally different. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. I hope we're sowing the word tonight. I hope we're obeying and listening and just sowing every day that word of God in our lives. And just listening to wisdom as she cries to us and cries to us. And by the way, I hope we're crying out wisdom to those who need to hear it. Your children, your family members, your co-workers. We ought to be crying out wisdom to them because they need to hear it. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that we would take it with us tonight. Father, we know the sowing and reaping principle tonight is nothing new. And Father, that's true in the good light and the bad light. Good consequences, bad consequences. We sow that which is good, we're going to reap that which is good. We sow to the Word, we're going to reap the Word. We're going to reap safety. We're going to reap security. We're going to be quiet and still and at peace. And we're not going to be afraid of the evil. But when we're sowing to the wind, or we're sowing the wind, that which is foolish and vain and just living any way that we want to live, disregarding wisdom, disregarding reproof. Father, may we understand tonight, somewhere down the line, the whirlwind's going to come. The tornado's coming. And so, Father, I pray tonight that we have just been reminded of your truth, of this sowing and reaping principle. Father, help us to remember we can walk down that cafeteria line. We can take whatever we want to take. We can make choice after choice after choice, but when we get to the end of that line, there's a cash register ringing it all up. And we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to have to pay for what we chose. Remind us of that, Lord, every single day of our lives. And we'll thank you for it. Give us safety as we go to our homes tonight, Father. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.